When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Jerry's here too. And guess who's lurking around with chains of doom rattling from him? That's Dave. He's here in spirit, is what I'm trying to say. And that makes this Short Stuff, the Achoo edition. Hold on, the edition.
That's me, man. As you know,
I'm Jerry.
I've been dealing with this for 2+ months. Allergies that never used to get me are getting me now. My doctor said sometimes that happens.
Yeah, you grew into them. That's fantastic.
Oh, it's great. We did a very robust episode on pollen back in the day that was really popular because there are so many allergy sufferers in the world and guests that listen to our show. But we want to thank How Stuff Works and a PhD here, Carrie Whitney, for this article. But we're not talking about just pollen. We're talking about, you hear pollen count all the time, and I never stop to think, like, is someone counting pollen? Like, how do they even get that number?
The answer is absolutely yes. Isn't that nuts?
It surprised me.
We'll get to that. But just a little brush up on pollen. Pollen is the gametophyte, the sperm, essentially, of the plant. It comes from the anthers, which is the male part, and then it fertilizes the carpel, the female part. And pollen, especially you, Chuck, I'm sure you see it everywhere because it's affecting you. You want to get away from it. Whole drifts of it just coat the cars in Georgia. Like, seriously, everybody, if you have never really experienced pollen, come to Georgia in the early to mid-spring, and you will be like, what is going on here? Why do people live here?
It's yellow.
It coats everything in these huge drifts. So you would think that you could see pollen, but it turns out an individual grain of pollen is, in every case, microscopic, from 10 micrometers to 100 micrometers, very, very small still. But they clump together, which is what produces those visible drifts of pollen.
Yeah. And you know what the other thing that pollen does here, and this is the really annoying thing, like it's annoying if you have allergies, obviously, but it will, if you don't take care of your car or your deck or whatever, like it will bake into whatever it's on.
Yeah. Definitely. Don't you have some pressure washing to do?
Well, I've been doing pressure washing, but I have to pressure wash. Like, I don't drive my pickup truck. It's like a work truck. I don't drive it that much, so it sort of sits unused for, you know, weeks and sometimes a month at a time. And this thing, every single year, it just has caked on, baked on pollen that you can't wash off. You have to get a pressure washer on it.
Plus that huge accumulation of pine straw that falls in between the hood and the windshield where the windshield wipers are. You just get stuck. Let's just talk about this for a while.
All right. So pollen gets places in a couple of ways, as everybody knows. It can either go by way of insect, or the stuff that's really bad for your allergies is the stuff that goes by the way of wind.
Right.
And it gets airborne. And this is the stuff that they're measuring. They're not going out and sampling a bunch of bees and counting up the pollen grains on their cute little furry fuzzy legs.
Right.
They're trying to get to what's in the air because that's the pollen count that counts.
Yeah, exactly. And usually it's from less showy plants because they don't need to attract bees or birds or whatever. It's like grasses, trees, just, you know, stuff that goes kind of unsung. Weeds, but they blow through the air and that's where it gets into your mucous membranes and makes you sneeze a lot. And one of the things that you have to know how to do if you're counting pollen is to know what each different type of pollen
looks like.
Grain. That's what I was after. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, because when you watch the news, they'll say, like, pollen count is high.
Right.
And if they really know what they're doing, they'll say, you know, look out today for ragweed or something like that.
Exactly. And I say we take a little break and we'll get into just precisely how they do that right after this.
Let's do it.
Well, now, when you're on the road, driving in your truck, why not learn a thing or two from Josh and Chuck? It's stuff you should know.
Stuff you should know.
All right.
Thank you. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. Okay, Chuck, so we were talking about people actually counting pollen and that pollen grains are microscopic, but that they all have kind of a different morphology, a different shape. And if you put all those things together, you get pollen count.
That's right. Specifically, a pollen count is the number of pollen grains in a cubic meter of air over one day, over a 24-hour period. And I guess Carrie got in touch with someone when this article was written from Atlanta because one Katie Walls was interviewed, a meteorologist, and I believe she was certified from the Atlanta Allergy and Asthma. Well, I was going to say association. It seems like an association, but that's it. From Atlanta Allergy and Asthma to be able to do this. And as we'll see, there are other ways you can get accredited through the National Allergy Bureau or the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and immunology to be like a certified, hey, they know what they're doing, pollen counter.
So what Katie Walls, the meteorologist, explained is that in that cubic meter of air that they're sampling over a 24-hour period, they're actually like attracting pollen in a number of different ways. There's a couple of different instruments that you can use. And each one is called the volumetric air sampling instrument. So there's a known measure of air. Again, a cubic meter of air is typically what's sampled. And again, it's usually over 24 hours. And there's two types, like I was saying. One's a rotating arm impactor, and the second is a Hurst-type spore trap. And they both are exactly what they sound like.
Yeah, we have some brand names here. We're happy to buzz market. The rotating arm sampler, I'm sorry, impactor, it seems like the most common one is the Rotarod. And then of the Hurst variety, the Burkhardt sampler.
Sure.
And I looked both these up, as I'm sure you did, but if you look at a picture, the Rotarod looks like just a little spinny contraption on a big tripod. The Burkhardt looks to me like a little bit like a camp stove or something. And they operate, or at least the first one, the Rotarod, is fairly intuitive. It does rotate. It starts spinning around really fast, about 2,400 revolutions per minute.
Right.
And these two little grease rods drop down, and they literally just capture pollen. Those little grease rods pick up these pollen spores, and then those rods are placed in a microscope adapter, and then they look at those, and they get their pollen count.
Right. That's one way. The other way, the Hurst type that the Burkhardt is an example of. It actually sucks in air over 24 hours. And in that air, it sucks in all the particles, too. And rather than a greased rod, they have a greased microscope slide. And so that the pollen and the spores are attracted to that microscope slide. And then what's neat is the slide moves inward at a specific rate, 2 millimeters an hour. So you can actually see hour by hour which pollen was highest at what time. And like you said, in exactly the same way, they put it under a microscope and they study it. And the people that study it are called actuopollenologists. A palynologist studies pollen, and actuopollenologist studies live pollen. They're the ones who actually do the pollen count. And they actually count the pollen spores in their sample.
Yeah. So if you, like me, thought that a pollen count was just some like random sample or like a statistical analysis of what it's usually like, mm-hmm. or just somebody making up a number, none of that is true. It is an actual count. Depending on where you are and what resources you have, it's going to work a little differently. Sometimes they collect this stuff every day for a year. Sometimes they just do it on weekdays. Sometimes it's a couple of days a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the county health department doing it. Sometimes it's an allergist that maybe is contracted by the news station. So it really depends on where you are and probably like how big of a city and maybe how much pollen you have in general as to how this goes down.
Yeah, I could see a city government having to be fairly flush to invest in a pollen counting station.
You think? How much are they?
I don't know. I think it's more of a show-off thing than anything. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like you want to show off, you want to show up Shelbyville so you get your pollen counting station.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then Chuck, we talked about how the volume of air is usually about a cubic meter, right?
Yeah.
So that's 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet roughly. And if you just kind of make that shape around yourself, it's not that big. And what they're saying is if there's like we're at 3,000 level, which is extremely high, there are 3,000 grains of pollen in that cubic meter over the course of 24 hours or at any given point in that 24 hours, which means that you're sucking all that in. So it really kind of drives home like what those numbers mean. I mean, yeah, 3,000 sounds way higher than say 200 or 50 or whatever. But when you put it in that perspective, it almost makes you choke.
Yeah. I wonder if any place places these in different places to compare those numbers.
Like a really rich city.
Atlantic
City, maybe.
But it would seem to make sense that there's more pollen, you know, on the edge of a forest than there would be, you know, in the mall parking lot, right?
Sure. You'd think so.
Although it's airborne, but I don't know.
No, it definitely would because it's going to spread out from that forest, you know. So, yeah, it would be denser there.
I wonder where they put these things in.
I don't know, but you're probably
not getting—
That's
one thing I didn't find out.
You're not getting an accurate count when you put it like right at the edge of a forest. But also, you're making way more work for yourself, too, because you got to count all that, buddy.
That's right. You got to get to that forest.
So there's a couple of other things that this How Stuff Works article included about pollen that I found gratifying, that they were saying, like, yes, pollen makes you sneeze and it can give you terrible allergies, but it's also useful in other ways. And the actuopollenologists, they study live pollen. But there's other kinds of pollenologists that study fossilized pollen, or they use it for crime fighting.
Yeah, because if that could be your alibi. If there's pollen on the scene and they say that you were there and you're like, that's not my pollen because my pollen is ragweed mm-hmm. and that pollen is
hickory.
Some other kind of weed. Yeah, hickory. That could get you out of a murder rap.
Totally. That's forensic pollenology. And then just regular pollenologists are the ones that study fossil pollen. And you can do everything from figure out what plants ancient societies worked with to what the climate of like an incredibly old spot on Earth was just by finding pollen grains. And the reason why is because when a plant evolves, its pollen morphology, it doesn't change even over millions and millions of years. So if you found a piece of ragweed pollen fossilized in, you know, a strata that's 60 million years old, you know that there was actually ragweed growing there because it matches the ragweed morphology today.
That's right.
You got anything else?
I've got nothing else, just snotty nose.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, Chuck. And since I wish Chuck good luck, Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.